I want to give you a compliment. Many of you are maturing in the Lord. We never quite mature, but we're maturing, which is a very good thing. And you are way down the road on doing it. Also, you have strong faith. Strong faith, which I've been able to grow from in some of the visits and some of the times with you. This message is very specifically for your church. It's obvious can be applied to any other place. But I want you to know that I prayed very seriously about what to bring to this church. Now, the title doesn't tell the whole story, but I'm going to read the title because of the first part of this message. Say no to anxiety and fear, and yes to repentance and reform. Amen. Say it again. Say no to anxiety and fear, and yes to repentance and reform. Ask yourself the following question. In the journey of America with God, what season are we in? Well, as a nation, we've moved away from God of the Bible. As a result, in our nation, we're experiencing a number of things. We're experiencing a drift away from the Constitution and founding documents that God spoke to the people after being a church. They got partway through. They couldn't agree. They went to church. All the pastor did was talk about the Holy Spirit. We came back, and this is what we had. So that's where our documents came from. We also have violence and crime on the increase, terribly so, and places where they're doing nothing about it, nothing about it at all. There's the experiencing COVID-19, which is having a lot of us in our homes longer than we'd like to be there. Then on top of that, the concern of where is our nation going to go with this election? And then on top of that is, will there be fraud in this election? Now, this is a devil. We have an atmosphere in our country of anxiety, worry, and fear. Now, that's the devil's scheme to destroy the country that God birthed and blessed. Amen. Yes, and that's why he wants to destroy us as well, because we are part of God's creation. On Saturday, September 26th, there was a large gathering of Christians at the mall between the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial to pray for our nation. Now, I saw the commercials for that, and it seemed like a prayer rally. I also saw that it was going to be telecast, and I could get it on the internet, so 10 o'clock in the morning, I was on my computer, ready to watch it, and it already started, of course. It was called A Sacred Assembly. Now, I'm going to share some very important things from that, because I was surprised when I came back here how many Christians, some of them didn't even know it had happened, others knew, didn't understand the magnitude of it, the significance of it. And so I want to bring out some of those points, because it was a God-devoted time in history. Absolutely. It was entitled The Return. The Return. The theme was a scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We are God's people. Christians all across the country are God's people. Christians all around the world are referred to as God's people. Yep. Well, it was a worldwide event. Worldwide. The key speaker was Jonathan Kahn. When he presented his message, I realized something. I realized there were facts about this return that I didn't know, and reasons why I was being held that I didn't know. And on top of that, there were dots that I hadn't connected. I had heard some of these things individually over time, but I never connected them to this event. Four 400 years ago, the Mayflower Compact was signed. They were getting ready to go ashore. And they signed it, and the theme, they assigned it in the spirit, and it even said it, that this adventure that they were going to do was for the glory of God. It was for the glory of God. 10 years later, there was a prophecy about this. The prophecy was that if they continued with God and worshiped him and all of that, that God would bless them, continue to bless them because he had been blessing them. They would be a city on a hill and a light to the world. A light to the world. Yep. But if they wandered away from him, if they strayed away from him, if they went against him, they would experience God's judgment. They would experience, I call it discipline, because we are not going to be under God's wrath. But we will be disciplined along with the nation if we continue to walk away. In the last several generations, many people have drifted away from God, committing terrible sins. Excuse me. I get weepy. I get a lot of stuff when I when I think about God and I think about how he's trying to speak to us today as a nation. Committing sins, they drifted away from God, committed sins, and then on top of that, turn their backs on God. They worship self and money. The gods that are worshipped today by many people in our nation is self and money. They prided themselves in being the leader of the world and not vulnerable at all. No, nothing's going to come on land. I'm sorry, I drift away from this microphone. I will put over the top of it and raise this up. Yes, they prided themselves on that. And so God gave a wake-up call. The Twin Towers that were attacked in the center of New York City by a foreign country and brought down. Well, it was a wake-up call, and people flocked to church. I remember how they flocked to church. Amen. It was all over the airwaves for 2 weeks. Yeah. And after 2 weeks, they went back to themselves. Many, many people went back to themselves. Some continued on, but many went back to themselves. Yeah, there was no true repentance and reform. Repentance without reform doesn't change much. They went further into sin. Christians stopped their protesting and marching and gathering against abortion. What was declared an abomination to God became acceptable, an acceptable lifestyle. And not only that, there were laws put in effect to make sure it could last and stand and nobody could come against it. In our colleges and all the way down to grade school, in our schools, this way of living was declared perfectly acceptable. And they were brainwashed that the Bible, the Holy Bible, is not true. It's just a fable. And the new ways that are being taught are the ways that we should live. As it says in the Bible, we came to the point where evil was being called good, and good was becoming evil. So it's no surprise to God that this happens. It was to happen in the last days, not only to us, but to many other places. The year 2020 has been a year of greater shaking, to the point where a nation, our nation, we stand at the crossroads. Come back to God or experience discipline. Christians are the people of God, need to be living out 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is the hour to live that scripture, to state it, to read it, to understand it, to do it, and to continue in a repentance mode for our nation. Even the people that set up and knew that this was a day that we should do this, because of the 400 years, did not realize until they had said it that God established this date in history for a day of returning him, because the Jewish Shabbat, Skuba, S-U-B-A, is a word for return. It was a day of repentance for the Jewish people. And so our nation was called to a day of returning to God, starting with the Christians. Well, it was a worldwide event. I stayed on the computer nonstop until 3:30 in the afternoon. I was absolutely drawn into it, captivated by it. There were many speakers from different countries and many people attending from different countries. And it was broken up into segments. There was the repentance of individuals, which we all took part in. I'm sure many at home watching took part in it. I did. I mean, it was an action thing that we did. There was many speakers spoke for about 5 minutes. The topics were, the beginning one was the individual repentance. The next was repentance of the pastors and leaders of the churches and church organizations. Then there was the repentance of our leaders of the country. Then there was repentance of America. And then there was worldwide repentance. Now is the time to cry out to God and not let this atmosphere of anxiety, worry, and fear distract us or cripple us from the message that we have in answering God's calling. We will experience these emotions as when certain events come up, occur. The first tendency is to have some anxiety. The first tendency is to have some worry. The first tendency is to maybe let a little fear in there. Because many times we can't control what's going to happen. Well, God expects us to conquer that and to move on with him. Amen. Conquer those and move on with God. Now, since we're talking to the body of Christ and we're admitting that we get pulled away a little bit, sometimes it lasts a little longer than it should. Sometimes it's not that quick second, and we say, oh, I know, God is in control. No, we sit there a little bit, and stew a little bit was the old term my parents used to use. Yep. Well, what can lead Christians to doing that? Well, casting only part of our cares upon the Lord, holding some back. Either we think we can do it, or we're not sure God can do it. I don't know. But there's a tendency sometimes to hold some of our cares back from giving them to God. It says, cast your cares upon the Lord. Feelings of worthlessness and unworthiness can lead us into more fear, more anxiety, starting down that slope that leads to depression. Attempting to change things we have no control over. Yep, that's a dead end. Failing to trust God for all of our needs. And then, if we decide we're going to trust Him for all our needs, let's make sure we don't think we know all our needs. Because God's way is above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His timing is different than ours. There's a lot of reasons that we have needs that we don't even think about or know about. But God does, and He's busy meeting those needs. He's going to meet those needs as well as the ones we're aware of and crying out to Him in prayer for. Misplaced priorities. Boy, has that happened in our country among the church. There has been so much to take us away from the time that we should be spending with God. And it's just, if we're too busy to spend time with God, the Word of God says we're too busy. Something has to go. And we need to be examining our priorities on a regular basis. How are we spending our time? Then, not trying to live the life of God wants us to. Not trying to live that life He wants us to. Because He has given us a roadmap to a walk with Him. It's in the Scriptures. He's given us what His values are. He's given us what to honor and dishonor. He's given us how to live. And incidentally, how to live a life of love. Because God is love. He is agape love. No conditions. No conditions. Unconditionally loves us, no matter what. If we screw up, He still loves us. He draws us back to ask forgiveness. And then what He does, I think, is wonderful. This is 1 John 1:9. What happens is He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Gives us a brand new beginning. And He does that many times over our lifetime. Praise God. Praise God. We also need to declare the relevant scriptures to this calling to repent. And continue walking in a love relationship with Him. So here are some of the scriptures. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We read, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen. His peace is the opposite of anxiety, worry, and fear. In Matthew 6, 25 through 34, Jesus brings a long teaching about not to worry and gives reasons. And He ends with this punchline. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself." 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind." They try to change that part about sound mind. They got a lot of different translations, but I really hang on to that. A good, sound mind. A mind that's filled with God. A mind that measures everything against the Scriptures and what God says. So, in Romans 8:31, Paul asks us a question. Excuse me. He asked us a question. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Why should we have fear? God is with us. He promised to be with us all the time. God is all powerful. God is just so precious and so aware of our needs. We can be sure that he's working things together for our good. No matter what it seems like, no matter how long you think it's taking way too long, God, no matter what, he's working for our good. He's working for our good. Now, one of the things that God intends is that this not just be an event that occurred on September 26th. He intended for Christians that became aware of this, partake in it, and just spread it, because he wants Christians all across America to live this verse. Live 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now, I want you to ask yourself, well, and listen. God does not expect the sacred assembly to be the end, and he expects it to be the beginning of revival in his church. He intends it to be awareness, awakening in our country, and he extends it to be taking in a great harvest. Maybe it's the last one, maybe it isn't, but he wants a great harvest coming in at this point. Harvest the souls. Now, ask yourself this question. This is for your church. Why has God brought to you some of the best teachers in the land? Is it because you're so big? No. Because you're so prestigious? No. But he's brought them. He's brought them, and you've shared them. You've shared them with the valley. But he's also had a word for each of you. Then, he's led the best prophets in the land. And if he hasn't led them physically here, he's had you be able to hear them in some other way. But he has definitely blessed this congregation. Well, why? For such a time as this. I'm serious about that. You have so much to give to the body of Christ. You have no idea. I see all kinds of churches. And let me tell you, I meant it when I compliment you on growing in maturity and having strong faith. I meant that because it's true. Now, he wants you to help and encourage and to strengthen other Christians. You cannot do the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives the same as you can't do the work of the Holy Spirit. And people that you've shared need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can't do it. But you can do a number of things. You can share the finished work of Jesus Christ with people. You can remind those that have already received Jesus that, by the way, there's one thing I want to say about that work of Christ, the finished work of Christ. It is the greatest love gift ever given. Amen. There will never be a better one. Never. Amen. You can remind them that as you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, died for your sins, you ask forgiveness of your sins, purposing to repent, and asking him to come into your life as your personal Lord and Savior. As you did that, you were forgiven, you were cleansed, and God, the Holy Spirit, came in your life. You think about that. You think about, yes, oh, we say, oh, we got the Holy Spirit inside of us. We got God, the Holy Spirit, inside of us. That part of the triune God. You can share with others what you've been taught, especially about the Holy Spirit. You can teach them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit if they haven't been. And if they have been, you can teach them to continue using the language that God has given them. I think that's one thing that God grieves over, because so many Christians that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and receive this language that God wants, this unadulterated language, this language that's pure that they can talk to him in, have left it on the shelf, have not used it much at all. And of course, Satan wants to engineer that and get that out of us, because it puts him right down, period. You can help them about scripture application. There are many Christians that don't understand this. They don't understand that when we read the scriptures, the thing it's supposed to be is it is supposed to impact our lives. And I used to feel as a pastor, if I couldn't present a message that the people could live out, start living out on Monday, I fail. And it was interesting. I used that as people would compliment me and people would criticize me. I would say, well, are you living out the parts that were good to the people that were criticizing me? Yeah. You can teach them on faith declarations, how important they are. And releasing the Holy Spirit into situations. You can strengthen and encourage others. You know, when this pandemic hit, and I was isolated at home because I had a doctor's script, stay home, because of conditions I have. So I was home, and all the ways that I ministered were cut off, other than prayer. But I mean the ministering to other people. So I tried. I offered some things over Zoom, over the telephone, and there were a few people that responded. And it was anointed. Wonderful. And then that stopped. And I'm there and I'm saying to God, God, what is my calling? And he says, what is your greatest gift? I said, strengthening and encouraging. And then he said, go do it. So the phone became a avenue to strengthening and encouraging as many people as I could. And having Bible studies with couples over the phone and prayer and things like that to strengthen, encourage, and build up the body of Christ. We can all do that. We need to do that. You have so much to strengthen them with and share with them that will encourage them. Showing them how to recognize God as a supernatural God. And he gives us blessings supernaturally every single day. If you stop and look and ask God to show you, you will find ways in which he's giving you supernatural blessings. See, we as people and human beings wait for that big moment, that thing that we need to be rescued. It is, oh my gosh, God did it supernaturally. And God's moving every day in our lives supernaturally. I love to be out in nature. Can't be there a lot of the time, so I sit in a window where I look out our backyard, or I sit near where I look out over the bird feeder on the side and just commune with God and think about how awesome he is. And he always, when I do that, gives me a sign. Supernaturally. Now, you got to understand that cardinals are a very flighty bird. And right at the most opportune time, a cardinal will fly in, show himself off, and take off. Doves. Many times I've had 3 doves, 2 doves, 1 doves, whatever. But I've had doves there as a sign. One time a fox rode, zoomed through the back of my yard, and I say, no way, you keep going. You're not welcome here. But God speaks to us. He speaks to my wife in very different ways, but he definitely speaks to her. And help people to understand that God is speaking and how to hear him. You know, one of the longest chapters in my book was How to Hear God. because I felt like he's speaking all the time, and we're not hearing a lot of what he's saying to us. Now, the other thing is following Jesus. How do we follow Jesus? Well, Heavenly Father, I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll do it when you want me to say it and you want me to do it. That was Jesus. That was the one thing he was driving into the disciples' heads. They didn't know it, but he was demonstrating it over and over and over and over again. You know, I think about him being in the garden, you know, about to lay his life down for us. And he said, Father, could this cup of sorrow pass? Nevertheless, your will be done. It was always the Father's will. And that's the way it needs to be with our lives. In conclusion, go do it. Go do it. I am, and I'm challenged, I'll tell you that. You know, when I sat there and there's a repentance going on, before that meeting I would have told you, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm rising up there, I'm doing really good. And well, after the repentance time, I had a list. And since then I found out some of those things changed right away. Came back right away. One of those is a battle, because God is working inner healing in me, step by step, change by change, that needs to happen in my life. And so it's an ongoing thing. It's a thing that we need to do, and especially now as our country is at this crossroads. Thank you. God bless all of you here and those that are listening in.